Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
How are you?
And Mark.
And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have for you. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. Coming up, that law in Tennessee that was going to ban drag shows apparently has been blocked by a federal court.
Ooh.
Just moments before it went into effect, or was going to go into effect. So it did not ever get a chance to go into effect. We can tell you more about that coming up here. But Scott is still on the line with us here. He was calling from, I think, Illinois. And Scott, you're back on Free Talk Live. You're going to tell us something about Goldbacks and one of their sister organizations, the United Precious Metals Association. You said you had an account, and then we ran into the news break, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I've had an account there for a while, and I have some goldbacks on the account, but I don't have them. I haven't got any delivered to me yet, but I moved, and I didn't change my address, so I set up another account, and I just transferred my goldbacks to a second account, and I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, why don't we just use goldbacks for crypto and like use some thing like BISC exchange or something and set it up so we're not using dollars to begin with.
So BISC, for listeners that don't know, is probably the first decentralized cryptocurrency exchange. And one of the things that sets them apart, as I recall, because I haven't used it since before I got raided, and even before then, it was probably like a year before I got raided that I tried BISC, because it was pretty low volume. There really wasn't much happening there from what I could see. There were a decent amount of trades for like Monero and Bitcoin, but there wasn't much in the way of like cash for Bitcoin or cash for Monero. I don't know if that's changed recently. I hope that it has. I know they still exist. One of the things that sets BISC apart from your typical decentralized exchange, most decentralized exchanges, it's only crypto for crypto. Whereas on BISC, you can actually do cash for crypto trades, kind of like on Paxful or local Bitcoins or something like that. So you're suggesting, Scott, that you could do a gold for Bitcoin trade on BISC? Is that possible?
Well, what I'm thinking is, and I haven't been on that for a long time, but what I was thinking since I transferred goldbacks from one account to a second account instantly.
Right.
I was like, well, if you put that up as an option and you say, okay, well, I'll accept goldbacks and you can send them to this email address and I'll send you whatever you want.
I think it's a great idea. As I understand it, BISC, as a decentralized exchange, should be able to do something like that. I don't know how you would create a new category on there. I don't know if you have to get the BISC DAO or Decentralized Autonomous Organization to approve something or what the process is like that. But, yeah, what you're pointing out is that the UPMA, which is upma.org, the United Precious Metals Association, when you sign up there, and you do have to do some know your customer. You know, you got to tell them who you are and where you live and that kind of thing. I don't think you have to scan an ID, though, or anything like that. It's been a while since I've signed up for them. Do you recall, Scott, what the procedure was to get the account?
For UPMA?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I set it up, but it wasn't really that hard to do. I mean, I just signed up and, you know, it's like email, username, password, and I set up my bank account. I transferred some money over there. I didn't buy a lot, but I got some.
Well, if you transferred money, it almost certainly KYC'd you.
Do you recall having to show your ID or a driver's license number or anything like that?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. I think I had to do something like that, but it was not really that.
It wasn't very invasive, as I recall. Like, it was like, give us your address, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And remember, in order to send a wire transfer into the UPMA, you do have to send from your own account, typically, right? So, like, that would be some level of verification of you are who you say you are. So, but then again, most people who are willing to buy Bitcoin online are certainly willing to ID themselves. So to sign up for UPMA would be not a big inconvenience, especially if they're into gold and silver, and it would check off the checkbox of getting somebody into precious metals as well as getting them into cryptocurrency. I think you got a pretty killer idea here. Have you considered approaching BISC? Do they have a decentralized autonomous organization? Do you even know?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I got on there, but I remembered about it because I'd checked it out before, and I started thinking about it because I've been listening to all this stuff about crypto in the news, and you guys I listen to quite a bit. So I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, why don't people just buy crypto with gold? Because if you use gold instead of the dollar, then what can, I guess they could try and do something, but...
I think that's a really interesting idea, and I think that it probably is fairly safe, because when you, as a seller, as we learned, Aria, there's a lot of scam artists out there that will try to take advantage of people and then use the people that are essentially being taken advantage of to purchase Bitcoin on their behalf. It would be relatively complex for them to have that person sign up for a goldback account and then wire transfer in for goldbacks and then send the goldbacks to you. Like, that's a multi-day long kind of process. Not to say that they wouldn't in some cases. Some of these poor scam victims will do anything the scammers tell them to do. But it's not as simple as, like, oh, you go to your...
Including lie on the stand.
Yes, yeah. Not as simple as, well, just go to your already existing bank account and wire me some money. That's a little bit more of a procedure.
I do see one particular issue with it where, like, if you're the receiving account of some of these goldbacks, like, let's say someone is a fraud victim. They are convinced to go online and they set up their account and they wire some money to it. And they buy these goldbacks or whatever, and then they transfer them, and then they decide they wish they hadn't done that. So they go to their bank, and their bank pulls it back from UPMA. UPMA is going to find out, okay, well, the goldbacks ultimately went to this person over here.
Yeah, it could still be problematic.
So we're yanking all of those back and closing the account.
Well, so, yeah, there's no perfect system.
Sure.
But if they wanted their goldbacks to come out, I mean, they have to have an address or... a bank account or whatever,
Well, the thing is, what she's pointing out is all of the scam victims have an address and a bank account. That's why they're being asked to send wire transfers. So I think I've given enough of the transfers on the gold back, enough customers buying, you're probably going to hit a scam artist at some point who's willing to jump through all those
sadly.
So there won't be a perfect system, but it would be interesting. If you kept the volume small, I think you'd be at a fairly low risk. Like if you did up to, a couple hundred or a few hundred dollars, then I don't think that it would be like the end of the world if something like that got pulled back. There's also, whenever somebody sends money to UPMA, depending on how they send the funds, there are some restrictions, meaning that you can pay UPMA with a check, but you won't actually get to do anything with the funds for like 60 days. And that's because UPMA is trying to protect themselves from check fraud.
Right.
So the UPMA is definitely aware of fraud out there, and hopefully they would be on your side in those cases. But whether the FBI would, on the other hand, is another question. But Scott, great idea tonight. Thanks for sharing it. Anything else you want to throw out there?
I was thinking too, like, what if people started buying like antiques or like collectible stuff and swapping that instead of using the dollar? Anything that goes and avoids the dollar entirely to get crypto.
Well, I would just recommend people buy gold and silver.
Yeah, yeah, that makes more sense, because then you've got a consistent go-between. You've got a form of, whether you want to use the term currency or not, that typically applies to government monies, but you've got something that is the equivalent of money that can be used as money, and antiques just aren't valuable to everybody. But gold is pretty universally valuable to most people. Thanks for the call tonight, Scott. I definitely appreciate it. I hope to see that someday. I hope to, when I'm able to use cryptocurrency again, I hope to be able to log into BISC and see that there's a whole gold back category. I think that would be super, super cool. And kind of a midpoint between actually having a real gold-backed cryptocurrency, right? Because that would be the ideal situation where there is an actual crypto that can be used outside of the UPMA sort of house. Because right now, anybody can go to UPMA, maybe even internationally. I think they might take international buyers, but certainly within the U.S., anyone can go and sign up for a UPMA account, send them some dollars, get some goldbacks, and then send those goldbacks electronically to another UPMA account. Right. But that's just moving money on one database within UPMA, That's not the same thing as having an actual decentralized cryptocurrency, which I know is sort of like the holy grail for gold-back fanatics, is to actually have some sort of, you know, gold-backed token, whatever that would look
like. Well, that would be fantastic, right? Yeah. But someone's got to make it, and someone's got to have the gold backs, and they've got to be able to have some sort of system in place to prove they have the gold backs without making it susceptible to theft.
That's
as well.
A big problem.
That costs money, and my experience within the gold and silver world is that people generally don't want to pay. They want everything to be at spot, and they don't want to pay for it. But if you're going to have a vault full of gold backs sitting there with cameras on them to show this is what we've gotten, it's all backed, and you know, all that stuff, somebody's got to run that, and that means that that person has to make a paycheck. That paycheck's going to probably be $50,000 to $100,000 a year, and that's just one person doing it. And then you've got to have vault space. Where's that vault going to be? I wouldn't have it in the United States.
Yeah, that is the problem.
Liechtenstein or, you know, something like that.
Well, in theory, you would have some company like Goldback or whatever who already has a large stash of goldbacks do this. And some level of keeping those, some way of keeping those goldbacks safe.
But I don't blame them under the current regulatory environment for wanting to stay the hell away from cryptocurrency.
It's a security!
Right. You know that's coming. You know that they're just, you know, waiting for an excuse to raid gold back over getting involved with crypto. So I think that it would have to be something that, if it happens, would have to be done outside of gold back, which makes it even more complicated because, again, the storage issues and all that. Mm-hmm. But decentralizing a stablecoin is a real challenge, and that, you know, this, it's the centralization around stablecoins that are the weakness of the stablecoin. So for listeners that don't know, a stablecoin is a typically, the idea behind a stablecoin is it is a crypto token, meaning it trades on cryptocurrency networks, that is ostensibly backed by a thing in real life. So it could be a dollar, it could be a euro, it could be an ounce of gold. And there are already are gold-backed stablecoins, where there's some gold in some vault somewhere in the world.
Yeah, Pax Gold, for example.
Correct. And Pax, the Paxos company has already been targeted by the SEC, not over their gold stablecoin product, but over their dollar stablecoin product, Binance USD. So it's curious that they didn't go after them for the gold. Maybe that's a good sign, or maybe they just aren't ready to make that attack yet. But so we already do have some gold-backed stablecoins out there. And so it can be done on a centralized basis fairly simply, but as Mark points out, what happens when the government comes in to the vault and says, hand it over? That's exactly what they did with the Liberty Dollar in 2007. After the Liberty Dollar, this is pre-crypto, right? After the Liberty Dollar for almost a decade had risen to prominence in the alternative to the dollar marketplace. It was the number one alternative to the dollar in the United States. There were several million dollars of it, I think, that had been minted, 5 to 10 million or something like that. How much of it was circulating? Probably not that much, but you know, most people probably just holding on to them. But they did exist, and the government thought they were enough of a threat at that point that they were going to destroy the Liberty Dollar, and they went into the vault. They, you know, held a gun to the, you know, the security agent or whatever at the front of the vault at, I think it was Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, the Sunshine Mint, and they went in and cleared out all of their coins. So everybody that had the Liberty Dollar certificates, because they had physical coins that they gave that people had, which obviously the government couldn't easily take, and then they had certificates that were backed by the silver that was in this vault. Well, not anymore. Now those certificates are not backed by silver because the government took them. Eventually, the courts mandated those things be returned to their owners, but I was too spooked by you know, getting on a government list, so I didn't actually claim mine with the court system.
Speaking of spooked by the governments, I love cryptocurrency, and I've loved cryptocurrency for the better part of 10 years. I don't know exactly how long, but at least for the majority of a 10-year period. I don't know whether it's 7 or 8 years or whatever, but I love cryptocurrency. But if I was a complete novice to the subject, believing the same things that I do now, which are the same things I believed 5 years ago and 7 years ago when I first learned about cryptocurrency and I first fell in love with it, but if I had never dabbled in it at all, had never even bought a single Satoshi, the regulatory environment today would have me spooked enough, I believe, where I just wouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
I would say, no, the government's clearly coming down on this stuff, and it's not worth it. I'll just get with gold and silver, thank you.
Well, just think about what we've heard from callers. I don't know if you were on the air for this call, but I'm sure you've been on the air for similar calls to this. Somebody called recently, and they were obviously uninformed about cryptocurrency. They knew Bitcoin existed, but, haven't you heard about FTX? Crypto's down. You know, like they don't
but
know.
It's not down.
Well, they don't know. I mean, it's down from 68,000.
Okay, I guess.
But it's up from most of its history. But those people don't know. They don't know what the history is. They aren't able to zoom out and see what the history of the price of Bitcoin has been. All they know is they heard something in the mainstream media about some scam artist named Sam Bankman-Fried who stole a bunch of money and therefore crypto bad. And, you know, even if they hadn't even heard of the SEC going after all these companies, because the average person probably doesn't even know about that, but FTX definitely made it on some people's radar screens. So there's just so much negativity and negative news about this. You can't blame somebody for wanting to stay away from something that sounds like it's going to make you a target.
No, I would stay away. I think if I was one of these people out there who had never dabbled in cryptocurrency, as convinced as I am in the ideas behind Bitcoin and its utility of creating peace and decentralized currency to give us control of our financial livelihoods, I don't think I would get into it.
Yeah, I think this is one of the areas where the Free State Project is so important to bring people together into a geographic area in a high concentration to where if we have a bunch of libertarian crypto people in the same geographic area and you're at work and you're flipping pizzas at work and you hear a coworker say, "Man, did you hear about that Bitcoin at FTX? Boy, that's a scam, huh? Bitcoin." Then you'll be able to pipe up and say, "Nah, Bitcoin's fine. That was just the equivalent of a bank failing."
And do exactly that.
Right. And so the more of us there are in these different areas in people's lives, whether it be being a coworker, going to the same church together, being in a knitting club or whatever, the more we can counter this misinformation that is just rife out there in society, which is why, you know, concentrating activism, especially in the cryptocurrency world, is so important. This goes back to one of the things we were discussing last night, where you have St. Kitts and Nevis, these Caribbean islands that are like hot spots for actually using cryptocurrency. Well, that's because they actually have people there who are interested in spending crypto and who are interested in using, in this case, Bitcoin Cash in a concentrated manner to where they've gotten a bunch of businesses on board. Some people are even getting paid in Bitcoin Cash there. And it's that concentration of people who are willing to do the work that has made that possible. So I think that for cryptocurrency to really make it, we've got to concentrate the crypto people together.
I agree with that. And certainly there's plenty of truth in what you said. The only time most of the people that I know outside of the Liberty community hear about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency is when the news talks about it. And it's maybe once every 3 or 4 months.
And that's almost always bad.
Yeah, when FTX happens or something like that, that's when they hear about it. Otherwise, they just, well, I heard about Bitcoin and I guess it's doing okay. There was some NFT nonsense a few years ago, but that's it. That's that's the full extent of their knowledge about it. And that makes it critically important to have free staters and libertarians and cryptocurrency advocates who know better out there in the world, not insulating ourselves and only dealing with members of our community. I realize I'm speaking heresy to the Free State Project, but you have to interact with people who aren't libertarians, and I think there's a lot of value in that.
I like Jeremy Kaufman's statement that New Hampshire is the libertarian homeland. I think that this is a true statement, or it could be made into a true statement, or whatever. It doesn't do the normal Free State Project bombast of come here and be free, or liberty in your lifetime, or whatever it is that they say. It just says, hey, this is where the libertarians are. This is the largest population of libertarians on the planet. And, you know, they're all trying to get some things done. It's easy to move within the United States and, you know, that sort of thing. I think if you want to go someplace where you can really operate in crypto, you might consider, you know, some of these, like, for instance, Morazan.city has its own cryptocurrency, and you can pay everything, your power bill, your rent, everything.
How does that work?
What do you mean?
How do they have their own cryptocurrency? What is it called?
It's called the E-Limp.
E-Limp?
Yeah.
Is it a token, or is it its own crypto?
I guess it's a stable coin of some sort.
Do you know what? Is it on, like, Ethereum blockchain or one of the other ones?
I think it is on the eCash blockchain.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's an old block. It was basically, it was designed by Ben.
Oh, okay, cool. Neat.
And Ruck and a couple of those guys on Saipan.
But see, I don't want a cryptocurrency it's good, you know, and there's plenty of room for competition among cryptocurrencies and all that, but I want one that the person down the street is willing to accept. Not that it can only be used in this one little private city somewhere on the globe.
Well, it's the same street. You mean the next town over?
You're so pedantic tonight, Mark. Jesus.
It's literally the same street. You know, everybody on the
okay,
street
then
can
the next,
pay their rent.
The next free private city state over. Whatever, man.
It's going to be a while until that's
I don't want money from the company store where I can only shop at the company that then owns me for life.
If it trades on an exchange, then you're fine,
sure.
Right? Is that a
I mean, you literally can pay your power bill with it.
That's
and
cool.
Everything.
That's cool.
I mean, you can't do
there
that.
There were some people who lived just fine off
Hampshire.
The mining company stores in the 19th century, right?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Whether it's in Morazan City or in New Hampshire, I think that crypto people definitely need to get together. And there are certainly some international crypto people that I wouldn't blame if they didn't want to come to the United States. And so maybe living in a walled city in Honduras is their bag. There definitely needs to be places to go. I got to say, I think that what they're doing in St. Kitts sounds a lot more intriguing. I hope they can keep it going. We did have somebody call in last night who suggested that the St. Kitts experiment was kind of falling apart. I don't know if they're, I don't know how true or false that is. I hope that they can keep the momentum up down there, though, and
that'd be fantastic
to grow that.
Has the Keen experiment fallen apart?
Yeah, definitely. Ever since the raid happened.
It's tragic, and this is the point that I try to make to all of these Bitcoin people, because I do the Bitcoin tour now, and I'm like, well, this place used to. There used to be a place here that did, and it's tragic. It's The Verge said it best. It was the sacking of a crypto mecca.
Yeah, that's precisely what happened. After the Crypto 6 raids happened, they knocked out me and Aria from being able to spend cryptocurrency. We were two of the regulars. We were out there every day. You and I were going to, whether it be the convenience store or buying some food, hot food from local restaurants. We were doing it all the time here in Keenan. And sadly, our group is small. So you knock out Ian and Aria, and you've knocked out a good
it's
chunk.
It's the prime mover problem, right?
Yeah,
like
you take out
these key men.
Right, and then
women.
If I'm prohibited from using crypto, it gets very difficult to get a new business on board with accepting cryptocurrency, especially if I can't go in and actually support them with a crypto. Anyway, there's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The Manhattan District Attorney laying out the specific charges against former President Trump.
34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State. no matter who you are.
Democratic DA Alvin Bragg charging Trump with dozens of criminal counts related to alleged illegal hush money payments to kill negative information before the 2016 election. Bragg said Trump conspired to catch and kill these negative stories. Former President Trump's legal team says there's nothing to the charges against him.
The indictment itself is boilerplate. It doesn't allege any federal crime, any state crime that's been violated. It doesn't allege what the false statement is.
Speaking outside the Manhattan courtroom, attorney Todd Blanche said Trump is frustrated, upset, disappointed, and mad. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah! Free Talk Live. Join the show here. There's time for you if you dial in now. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Aria, Mark, joining you here tonight. You can bring up whatever you want. You can join us online as well. Just go to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we have there. We've got our own social media platform where you have more freedom to express yourself than you would on a place like Facebook or Twitter. So head on over to social.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners as well as some of the hosts of the show. Once again, that's social.freetalklive.com. Oh, so I said that there was a story in the news about the Tennessee law. So Tennessee was, I think, the first to pass this anti-drag show law that has been, I believe, proposed in several other states. I don't know where it stands in those other states, but Tennessee was the first one to do it.
Well, was there some... If I recall correctly, and there were so many of these, and so many of them that I didn't even pay attention to, I think the one in Tennessee made it illegal, or it treated drag shows the same way that they would treat strip clubs. Or it legally, drag shows or any club that hosted drag shows were considered to be whatever terminology they used.
Cabaret, I believe, was the term, or adult performance. I don't have it in front of me. I've read it before, but basically... What the problem with this was, it essentially said that in the category of strip shows was now included the idea of a person dressing as the opposite sex but it had to be prurient. The show, the drag show, had to appeal to a prurient interest, which essentially means it had to be sexual. It had to appeal to the lowest common denominator in a sexual sort of connotation.
Otherwise, the screening of Mrs. Doubtfire would run afoul of this law if it was being watched by children, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that it would be hard for the police to accuse Mrs. Doubtfire of being prurient, but it would be easier for them to accuse a drag show of being prurient simply because drag is bad and, oh my God, somebody's on stage showing their legs in a skirt, right? Like,
I mean, I guess some
of to us is not sexual, right? And I think to 99% of the people that would be in the audience who weren't cops, that would not be sexual. But this is what the ultimate question was with this law is there's the thing that they wrote in the law, and then there's what the cops and the courts are going to do to enforce it.
That's always the question when it comes to these things. I remember a performer called Dame Edna, and I saw a performance by her probably 20 years ago. Maybe it was 25 years ago. And, you know, this is just a mild comedy show of a guy dressed as a woman. Now, I don't know how he identifies or, you know, whatever the situation is. Doesn't matter to me particularly. Nothing at all sexual about it. And Dame Edna was on television from the 80s and the 90s. There's a long history of actors and comedians doing, you know, cross-dressing or whatever it is that they do. And, you know, none of these things are a problem. Now, I've definitely seen some videos, likely peddled by the conservative crowd, that are shocking. It's like, what in the world is this six-year-old girl doing at this party where this guy's running around in, like, a Speedo, dancing and doing whatever?
Probably, you know, not a drag show in that case.
I don't know about, you know what, he was...
Children can't go to the beach? Because there might be a man there wearing a
suit. I don't know what she was doing there. I don't understand why that it looked like. The claim was, and I tend to be skeptical of all claims.
Is it illegal to wear a Speedo down the street?
The claim was that this person was essentially a you know, cross-dressing stripper brought to a six-year-old's party.
So?
Now,
I mean,
it didn't look inaccurate.
It's true.
Okay, let's say it's true. It's weird as hell.
On behalf of who?
Everyone. That's weird. Like, you shouldn't do that.
So there's this Lamb of God song.
Do it.
So there's this metal band called Lamb of God, and I forget the name of the song, and I can't believe I'm spacing on it. I want to say it's called Country Song, but I know that's not right. But anyway, the entire music video for it is like there's this church organization that's looking for a good, wholesome band to have, right? And they hear about this band called Lamb of God, and they go, well, that's perfect. Let's get them. And then they get there, and they set up, and then they just do this roaring, screaming, loud, angry, death metal-sounding thing, right? And to the guys in the band, they're just performing for these little kids, this Christian kids party, and they're just, it's not weird to them. They're just doing what they were hired to do. They were paid to play their show, and they went there and they played their show. It's not weird for them. Like, they're just performers doing a job.
Okay. Right?
Is it weird to bring a kid to the beach where there's people in thongs?
I don't think that there's particularly a problem to take a kid to a beach where people are in thongs. No,
why
I think
is
it's
it
weird
to go to a party. Where
I think it's weird to go like dancing up to them and presenting presents and a whole variety of things.
Is that what happened in the video?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what it looked like. He couldn't exactly see what was being presented, but expect problems when you take video like that. Is all I'm saying.
Here's the problem: is there's so many people that want to get into other people's business. And I think Carlin Borschenko was pointing this out recently on social media. She's been criticizing the conservatives recently for, you know, being just absolutely obsessed with a group of people that they're never going to change, right? Like, the group of people who would do this, what you're describing is weird, Mark. They probably see it as fun, like going to the show where some guys are in Speedos, there's tips being handed out, he's dancing, they're dancing, whatever's going on, they're having a good time, and everybody's there voluntarily. Conservatives cannot stand this, and they will protest this, and they will pass laws against it, but one thing's for sure, the people who live this particular lifestyle, the families who live this lifestyle, who are bringing
somebody this twisted will absolutely twist their kid.
It's just different.
I don't give a damn what you think.
It's just
I'm saying anybody who's that twisted will damn sure twist their kid.
It's the viewpoint of somebody who is repressed, I think, that believes this is twisted. Okay, I think this is repression. It's a sexual repression. And it comes from ultra-religious, ultra-conservative households who say sex is bad, nudity is bad, because nudity is sex, and, you know, therefore it's bad. Stay away from all that. Keep your clothes on. Don't wear bikinis. Make sure you have your, you know, you got the cops on the beat on the beach so they can measure how high up from your ankle the hem of your one-piece bathing suit is. I mean, this is the kind of people we're talking about who get all a flutter when they see something in regards to the human body being expressed in front of children, and they say, that is twisted. And I think that there's a different viewpoint that is just as legitimate that says, no, it's twisted to see the human body as something ugly, something that you need to be ashamed of, something that you need to keep away from people of all ages without... it's just, to me, that's the twisted viewpoint, to say that these people who are doing something voluntarily, who maybe are more open to nudity or sexuality or whatever, maybe not both, but maybe one or the other, is somehow a twisted thing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that having this sort of weird, you know, I don't even know how to describe the weirdo in the Speedo presenting the gifts to the young girl. I don't know how to describe that, but
why can't someone? Okay, what's wrong?
I'll tell you why. It's weird. I'm not saying they can't. You can do what you
didn't grow up that way.
I know. I want to know why you think it's weird for a person to go up to a child and hand them a gift.
It's not just that. This appeared to be the clown at the birthday party was replaced with, you know, a buck naked Peter Pan.
But he wasn't
right? Like
naked.
That's what kind of happened.
But he wasn't naked. He was wearing
a
Speedo.
Naked.
What's
that's
wrong
correct.
With? Okay, so you have an objection to him
wearing
a Speedo.
But is there a problem with him being naked? Would there be a problem, Aria?
I would have no problem with that. No,
there are nudist beaches.
Okay. So
there are nudist camps. There are nudist communities. Nudity is not sexuality.
But you know, Mark, I heard a really good point recently that I want to bring to your attention as well. Someone pointed out to me that they don't think it's the sexualization of kids or drag shows or anything that people actually have an issue with. The issue is that they're sexualizing boys, because they're used to girls being sexualized. They don't think anything about it. But a drag show, it effeminizes a boy, and it terrifies them to think that their little boys could be sexualized and looked at as sexual objects in the same way that they expect women to. And I don't think it's sexualization that people have an issue with, just like they see, you know, high school cheerleaders running around in miniskirts with bloomers showing.
That's
and they
totally
don't think
fine.
Anything about it. And, you know, 12-year-olds in bikini and no one thinks anything about it. But, oh, no, you let that little boy put on the dress. It's suddenly it's a problem. And it's because, as far as I can tell, I have yet to come up with the reason that this person was wrong, that the issue here isn't sexualization at all. It's that they're terrified that their little boys was to be subjected to the same crap that they're subjecting their little girls to.
I think you're onto something. I'm not going to rebut that. I'm going to think about it.
That's the same problem I have, right? I want to say that it's wrong, but I just can't find any particular problem with it because it seems to make sense.
Right. What was the name of the boys that the gay boys in Afghanistan, the ones the U.S. government paid literally that they bought and sold as human trafficked these boys to
the
higher ups. Yeah, the other side, the good guys. You needed to give gay sex slaves to the good guys in order to curry favor.
Mm-hmm.
Catamites?
No,
that was the Greek one.
Yeah, but I remember what you're talking about, Mark. Yeah, that is definitely something we've discussed before.
They had these gay slaves. Oh, it's the God's honest truth. The United States government and the United States military paid for this to happen. And that's why it was so shocking to conservatives when you could nail a conservative down, because you know how they squirm between,
between
the military.
DeSantis isn't really that bad. And
let me show you the
little... I'll be your conservative. If I'm the conservative in this world, you two have won.
So just a little bit of detail in the story.
By the way, I just want to give a real quick applause and accolades for you two. I can't remember the last time somebody called into Free Talk Live and you said, I agree with you. Good job, Scott.
Okay. You're not on the show that often. But anyway, let's...
I listen.
U.S. District Judge Thomas Parker granted a temporary restraining order blocking enforcement of the Tennessee law for 2 weeks, finding that it was likely both vague and overly broad. So this is an initial injunction. This is just the judge saying, at a glance, I'm going to freeze this thing, and then I'm going to look at it closer, and then I'll come up with a full-on ruling basically within the next two weeks. So overbroad, vague, yeah, I got to agree. It's definitely vague and overbroad to say if it's a prurient drag show, then therefore you must be convicted of a crime. That leaves a huge, you know, loophole that you can drive a Mack truck through, and that every cop who's anti-drag is absolutely going to be targeting these drag shows in Tennessee, saying, "Well, there's a man in a dress on stage. He's showing too much leg. That's sex. It's prurient." And then you got to fight it out in court, right? And then you got to fight it out in front of a Tennessee jury, which may also hold people on it that are anti-drag, and they might send you up the river, right? Even though you didn't even have like a sex joke in your drag show, because there are some drag shows where there's some jokes that are sexual, but there aren't a lot of drag shows where there's actual like sexual content as far as somebody stripping or something like that. That would defeat the point of a drag show.
When I was in Vegas, there was, but it wasn't trans people doing it. It was a I don't know what terminology to use, but I'll just say a trans woman hostess, and then everybody else appeared to be sort of cis, right? And
well, a lot of drag shows won't allow trans people in them, and I think
most draggers,
on that.
Most drag people are gay men who dress like women, right? They're not actually trans,
right?
Well, whatever the case may be, I think that's something like that.
What was the content of this show? I'm not really clear on what your description is.
If I remember correctly, it was a Cirque du Soleil in Vegas that was adult only, and it was the hostess was this gay man in a dress or whatever the terminology was, and then the rest of the people were sort of cisgendered normal folks doing kind of, you know, topless acrobatics and things like that.
Okay, that's not a drag show. I mean, that would be like a strip show. Yeah,
they just had a trans host, it sounds like.
Well, describe a drag show to me then.
Okay, well, you want to do it?
I'm just trying to process that, Mark, things like, you know, acrobatic performers.
Yeah, not a drag show. This is one of the problems with the attack on drag is they are attributing to drag all kinds of things that should not be attributed to drag. If you have a strip show going on, it's strip show. If you have an acrobatic show going on that's nude, you've got a nude acrobatic show. But a drag show, traditionally, maybe there are some exceptions, but they're pretty rare. The traditional drag show is men dressing as women coming out onto a stage and singing pop music.
That happened in this show.
At the Cirque du Soleil?
Yes.
Okay.
Does that make it a drag show?
It incorporated
a drag show.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was. It was an acrobatic show that incorporated drag.
Sure. But generally, the men who are dressing as and singing as women do not strip during that. They will change costumes. Okay. So typically, a drag show will involve multiple costume changes. In many cases, on stage, they'll just like rip a costume off, and underneath, they got another costume on. So like that's part of the fun of it is like, how many times is this person going to change costumes in 1 5-minute song? And it's pretty impressive how they do it. But it's usually just a flashy thing. It's not they're not showing their body during the costume change. It's not about
They're wearing
that.
Six layers or whatever.
Yeah,
so
or whatever.
How can they show their body?
I mean, the one costume may be a little more revealing than the other, but the purpose is not to titillate. The purpose is to be fabulous, right? Is to have fabulous costumes and makeup and sing. That's all that a drag show is.
Well, the purpose may be to titillate, but the only purpose is to titillate in the same way that, you know, Nelly's video for Country Grammar is meant to titillate. Or whatever Hollywood movie is meant to titillate. I mean, sex
not
is
not at
just,
a drag show.
Maybe, but sex
they're
is just
tame compared to Hollywood and compared to music videos.
Sure, but the point
Ian,
is that
I have
sex
some questions about
core.
Your definitions, though.
The point is just that sex is core to being a human being, and almost everything can be sexualized to one degree or another.
There's some sex jokes sometimes at a drag show, but you're not going to see typically sex acts or anything simulated.
I would imagine not.
Go ahead, Mark, with your question.
So, Here in Sarasota at the Bi-Hi Hut on Sunday nights on mm-hmm. Sarasota's famous North Trail,
mm-hmm.
You've got a drag bingo is what it's called. Now, okay. I haven't been. I've seriously considered going.
Sounds
it's
like fun.
Like getting me out at 7:30 at night. Whoa, you know, like something's going down.
So what are you going to say about it? I mean, do you know anything about it at all?
I'm trying to imagine what drag bingo is.
I'm going to guess it is probably someone in drag who's calling out bingo numbers. I don't see how
that's what my guess is too. But you were defining a drag show as something where somebody sings.
Yeah, I'm giving you the traditional definition.
Like that.
Yes.
So can you have a drag show where somebody does bingo? As long
no,
as
that would be the drag host bingo.
Yeah, is in drag.
The drag bingo. Show part of it is the theatrics, the singing and the dancing, the show part.
What's a torch song?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
You've never heard this term, Aria?
But not every drag performance is a drag show.
Right, so drag bingo would involve a drag person. A person dressed in drag who is doing, presumably, running a bingo operation in the same way that a drag time story hour at the local library is a person in drag who is not singing but sitting and reading a book to whoever wants to listen. So none of these things are sexual. You know, none of these things should be prohibited. None of these things should be regulated. And so the federal court in this case is absolutely correct in the case of Tennessee, where they have put a freeze on that particular law. Hopefully that will result in the law being completely overturned down the line. If we hear any updates on that, we'll certainly let you know. So.
Torch song appears to not be a loaded term at all. I just saw a movie back in the 80s called the Torch Song Trilogy of, I don't know whether I'd call, the person was a gay man drag performer, and I thought that somehow that was all related, and apparently it's not.
I recommend seeing, there's a great movie that Bonnie and I watched.
Matthew Broderick in it, by the way.
It is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything. It is a fantastic drag movie where Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, and John Leguizamo appear in drag throughout the entirety of the film. And it is so funny. It does not go where you expect it is going to go. And I don't want to say anything more. I don't want to spoil it, even though it's 30 years old for people that it's one of those.
I've never seen it.
It's one of those movies that when you came out, like it probably you noticed it, like that it existed, but you might not have gone to see just because it was so, you know, in the 90s. It is weird, right, to have a drag movie come out. It was actually really
especially with famous, very macho men.
Yeah, and that's of course the fun part about it, right? Is you see these action stars basically dressing and acting as very very feminine, and it's very very funny. It's a comedy film. It's hilarious.
But so, despite the existence of that, none of these conservatives are going to realize, oh well, drag isn't necessarily sexualized.
No, they truly believe that it is.
It sounds like there's nothing sexualized about that. I mean, plus it's Wesley Snipes. You want to sexualize Wesley Snipes in a dress? You go right ahead. I'll probably join you. But if you do, there's probably a little bit more to you than just straight conservatism, you know?
Yeah, Wesley Snipes.
I'm going to go ahead and say if you throw a drag party for a kid or have kids at your drag party, you're a freaking weirdo. And
like,
there are things that
agree.
Are socially unacceptable.
You're different from Mark.
That are not aggression under the libertarian set of guidelines.
Being different from Mark doesn't necessarily mean you're weird. It just means Mark will look down on you.
Well, no, I mean, I have long since realized that a sufficient deviation from the norm, society will punish that. And I don't wish to be punished. I don't want, like, there's nothing out there in the fringes that's so great
that's sad,
to
Mark.
Say.
That's
Mark,
so sad.
Even you just did drag.
I don't live my life based on what people think about me, and I think it's sad that anyone does.
You, everybody lives their life based on what other people think of them. You will, confine yourself to your home or go and do whatever the government tells you to based on what they think about you, because there will be consequences.
How did you come to this conclusion?
Because your sentencing is coming in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to do what they say.
Okay.
Part of the reason
I don't know how
that you're
got
in the condition
from culture will look down on you for having a drag show to Aria, you're facing prison for an unlicensed money transmitting business.
There are subtle punishments that are meted out.
Okay, that has absolutely nothing to do with the threat of a prison.
Well, here's what I'm telling you. There's a group of people that I belong to that got arrested and bad things happened to them, nothing happened to me. Because others look at me and they say, well, I don't know what that normal guy's doing with those weirdos, but let's not bother him. And they do, and they've done it over and over again. Now, sometimes they'll lump me in, but they often don't. And all I'm saying is there's punishment.
Kudos to you and your normality, Mark. Some of us don't have, one, the luxury of being just this normal, straight, middle-aged guy who no one thinks twice about. Some of us are a little bit different, Mark, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think the mentality of people like you who want to punish people who are different is actually the issue.
Where did I say I wanted to do that?
I said people like you. You're arguing that this punishment is going to happen, and instead of resisting that punishment or standing your ground and being whoever you are in light of these punishments, saying, look, here I am. I'm going to put on a dress. Judge me if you want, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm still going to be standing here no matter what you people have to say about it. Instead of that, you're like, no, please, don't judge me. I'll be good.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I'll take the dress off.
What I'm saying
Screw
is,
that,
is
man.
Find a hill worth dying on. Don't find any hill and just die on them all.
Are you suggesting that somebody who's into drag has just found any hill?
I don't know. I'm not talking about people who are into drag. I'm talking about parents. Parents that think that it's a acceptable idea to bring six-year-olds.
Whatever
I've seen videos of.
You're characterizing this wrong. It's parents who accept their six-year-old's decision to participate in drag. See, it's not the parents who are doing this. The kids are going, I want to participate in drag. And the parents are going,
it
okay.
It might be the parents taking
you.
Their
yeah,
kids to
a drag show. Yeah, but we don't know one way or the other. We don't know one way or the other.
But
Mark is making his assumption, so we can make our assumption.
Well, I'm not even going to assume that. I don't care. If it's your kid, you can take him to whatever damn show you want to take him to. That's part and parcel of being a parent. You get to indoctrinate your kids with whatever belief system that you want to. But I'm not going to go out and say, I think those parents are doing anything bad to their kids. I think that parents can take their kids to church, and I think some people would say that that's bad too, but that is up to the parents to make that decision. Do you think, Mark, that people who take their kids to church are weird?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that it's just it's commonplace. And remember,
but there's all kinds of weird
indoctrination
that can go on.
My statement wasn't about whether it's good or bad.
They could be molested by the priest.
It wasn't a value statement. It was a statement based on society will punish you if you go sufficiently far to the fringes.
Well, maybe that should change.
Clearly, this is not that far to the fringes. Thank you for the...
die on every hill.
Tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime. There's plenty of people that support drag. This is not a fringe thing. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.